But let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you praise. We thank you for your love with which you have loved us. We thank you. Lord, as we get into your word, we ask that our hearts purified by your spirit and by your word, we receive your word with humility, with clarity, and with faith in our heart. That the Spirit of God shines light, illuminate our heart as we get your word. There's no confusion, there's no unbelief, but there is understanding and edification. We receive the revelation knowledge of Christ. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me just share some things with us quickly. John chapter 6. Let's go to John chapter 6. Just trying to bring together the things that we are saying. John chapter 6, verse 60. Let's start from verse 60. We're going to read 60. So let me give us the context to what. So we're going to read 60 and 66, okay? I just want to clarify some things for us. Now, before the clarification, let me make some disclaimer, okay? I'm not claiming that I'm Jesus, because Jesus made this statement about himself, all right? I'm in no wise claiming that I'm Jesus, one, okay? And I'm not claiming that if you want to go away, go away. I'm not saying that. Because what Jesus said is, well, you don't want to go away, just go, all right? That's not the lesson I want us to get from here, because that's not the point I'm trying to pass across, okay? And I think those are the two disclaimers I want to make them, all right? Because that story talks more about that. Now, let's go to 60 first, okay? Now, so here he was talking to them about the bread. So, you know, I've made a disclaimer. So, about the bread that Moses gave in the wilderness, all right? So, they've had an understanding about this bread. God gave this bread from heaven. And Jesus seems to come around to counter what they had always known as the truth. That Jesus, you know, because it's a long chapter and I don't want to take time on it. Jesus came and said that, hey, Moses did not give you that bread. What are you saying, Jesus? But we read, Jesus, God gave us bread, gave our fathers bread. But he said, God didn't give that bread. The bread that Moses gave is not the bread. He said, I am the true bread. Now, he says some things that is actually very, very serious. He said, you have to eat of my bread. He says, my flesh is that bread. You have to eat my flesh and drink my blood. Are we now vampires? What are you saying, Jesus? All right? They didn't understand what he was saying. Now, that is what led to this statement here. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they said that this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? What I'm trying to say is some of the truth of God's word, they are hard sayings. That's what I want to bring up from these lessons. All right, it could be very hard in that it may contradict the things that we've always known. All right, the reason we try to substantiate, you know, we take time with God's word. We say, okay, let's look at it. Let's form the opinion. Let's look at it together so that we can land on it together. Now, in bringing those thoughts together many times, it could take time, and if you don't follow at times, now you know, someone could be lost. I understand. All right. Now, this is not exonerating the preacher from being clear, being logical, being sequential, and not jumping from one thing to another. All right. It's not an excuse. But at times, I want us to know. Think about, maybe Jesus couldn't explain things very well. Maybe. Could that be the case? Not really. Not really. Because who is the best teacher apart from Jesus? But these guys, they came out and said, hey, these things, they are very hard. Who can understand it? Now, to the end that, look at it. Look at it in verse 66. Because, you know, let's now read verse 66. From that time, let me turn back. Oh, God, just go. Yeah, we can. Now, when he says many, not, look at many. All right? Now, again, you know, I've made a disclaimer. I'm not saying, if you want to, no. Jesus turned to Peter and said, you want to go? But Jesus said, no. All right? Now, please don't take it this way that, oh, he says we can go. No. The point is that those things could rock the things we've always known. Where is this coming from? Now, you know, the argument could be, are you now trying to say that all of those people are wrong? I don't answer questions like that, because you want me to say yes, then you are the only one that is right. No. The reason we don't, like we've said it many times, we allow God's word, all right, to form our opinions. Now, because what Jesus was saying is that, if you read in that context, I encourage you to go and read, he now said that, hey, the words that I speak to you, they are life and they are spirit. It is in this chapter. It is part of this story. It takes the spirit of God to understand the word of God. Now we can quote it. Oh, that now is now an understanding to us that Jesus gave them that bread. And that bread is not a physical bread. All right? He was talking about his death, his burial, and resurrection. It has nothing to do with bread at all. Or flour, or sugar, or yeast. Nothing. It has nothing to do with that. But yet they've misunderstood him. They've called it a hard saying, and they've walked away. They've walked away from eternal life. Or from eternal words. Hallelujah. Now, that's not a defense, but at times, so that it helps us to really settle down with God's word, take our time to understand. Now, if it is a hard saying, do you want to agree with me that it is hard to communicate as well? Hallelujah. You know, it didn't happen to Jesus alone. Even Moses that told this, it happened to him too. He said, hey, what are you saying? We don't understand what you're saying. They were going to stone him at some point. Some said, just go and meet your God. We will stay here. It's still the same thing. All right? And that's some of the things we are trying to get at with the word of God. The reason we are going after it one step at a time. Introducing some new thoughts in God's word could be like that. But please, don't be offended. All right? Let me find that place. Jesus said, let me find that place the way Jesus said it. John chapter 6. I just want to find that chapter so that we don't jump around. We're going to put it on the board. Look at verse 61. Let's go back to verse 60. John 6:60. So therefore, many of the disciples, when they had this, said, this was a hard saying. Who can understand it? Verse 61. When Jesus knew in himself. Again, look at, how did he know? Someone told him, no. So is he on earth? And heaven together. So when we talk about heaven, we're talking about you are a spirit man. Heaven just means you are a spiritual man. Okay? Let's not start that. We're going to go there. Also, he just knew. How did he knew? And what we are saying is that as Jesus knew, is that correct? All right? As he knows about this, okay? You can know things as well. You just know. All right? He knew that his disciples were complained about what he said. He said, does this offend you? All right? So what we're saying is, hey, don't get offended with God's word. All right? You know, if you drill down on that word offense, it means that people that turn their back on things that can help them. That, you know, we've taught ourselves about this bulletin. If we drill down on that word offend, what it means is that people picked offense, particularly in that parable of, in the parable of the sower, the seed that fell on the rock. Is on the rock now, yeah. One on the wayside, one on the rock, has no fruit, has no root rather. When Jesus was explaining that, he was happy at some point. That's the interpretation of that particular seed that fell on the rock. The one that fell on the tongues, among tongues, is the one that was excited, but hey, cares of this world. I want to be this, I want to be that. Choked God's word. It means that God's word can be choked. That's not even the point today. But the one that fell on the rock, Bible says he was happy, but at some point he got offended. Because there's no root. And I was drilling down that word offense. Read it when you get home. All right, that word offense means, hey, someone that turns their back on things that can help them. All right? We are not like that. Now, I have the responsibility to make it as clear as possible. All right? But we have the responsibility as well to listen, to ask questions, to clarify, and let's not dismiss God's word. Hallelujah. Because it is in it that we have life. It is in it that we have life. Hallelujah. All right? So let's give it a better go today. Okay? Let's give it another go today in God's word. We've been talking about God's eternal plan. We're going to take it one step at a time. All right. Some of these thoughts, we may have not had them before, but we are all going to form our opinion. Read as many scriptures as possible. All right. You know, when I was on campus, I used to preach. Oh, God bless you. You take it. All right. In the name. We just make some drama about it. All right. It's not wrong. It may be wrong as well. But then, people don't understand God's word that way. It takes systematic teaching, understanding, opening the scripture, all right, to make us form our opinion together. That opinion is in your mind. You will form it and you can hold on to it together. Hallelujah. All right. Let's start with some of these introductory words. So we've been talking about God's eternal plan. All right, and we've been trying to see what is God's plan, where do we stand in it, what's our role, what has God done, what happened in between. That's what we've been trying to study. We opened that topic yesterday, and I will do a recap short, not just in between it, all right, because we've got some more distance to travel today. Now, we can be very particular about the New Testament. All right? We want to read the New Testament. Make sure you pray from the New Testament. Make sure you do. And it's good. That's the way to think about it. That's the way to go. We go from the known to the unknown. From the clear word, we go from what we know, all right, to the parables, to the figures. All right? It's not wrong. It's God's word, but we are saying, hey, there are so many coded things, just like the bread that you've seen. And people thought, hey, Jesus said you need to eat. They should have asked him. I like Nicodemus. Nicodemus asked questions. Jesus was telling him, you need to be born again. And he was asking, in his mind, he thought, you mean I will go to my mother's womb again? That is the way the mind thinks. But what Jesus was saying, it doesn't mean anything about going to your mother's womb. All right? But he asked questions. He now clarified. What I mean, even at that, it's still not clear to today. He now said that except a man be born of the water, that is the Spirit. Even that bit today, people see it is water baptism and the Spirit. All right? But what he's saying is, you know, because he knows, it will make allusion to what I'm about to say here. All right? Water in the Jewish culture, they know it is the Spirit. What was the slang that we use here that is common? And you know what I'm saying? A quick slang or maybe a saying. I'm just looking for, ma? Amen. No, not in it. Where is it? Busy season. All right? Everybody understands. But then, you know, we say busy season. But if you go to, honestly, if you go to the mainland and you start using busy season, people may not really understand. All right? What's busy season? Are you talking about this? Is it December? Is it Christmas? They will ask questions. But, you know, it's a common saying here that we use it a lot in our teaching. Don't allow busy season to stop you. Don't allow, all right? But then people, we just read busy season, all right? And because it's a common understanding amongst us, we know what busy season is. So I don't need to start clarifying, all right? So that is that. So, but Jesus says, except you be born of water, Ezekiel prophesied water. In the beginning, the Spirit of God was brooding upon the waters. So they know that Spirit of God has to do with, sorry, water has got to do with the Spirit. They knew that. So in communication, in preaching, I have some limited time now. You don't, now, okay, by Spirit, I mean, but Jesus did that much. All right? So in clarification, all right, about the things of the Old Testament, the New Testament cleared. Paul now said about it that now we communicate to you in plain words. In plain words. Not in shadows anymore. Amen. You know, the thing about the way we teach in church is that it's not points. We just talk through it. All right? And at the point that we are switching, you know, it may look like, but please follow. All right, so today we've talked about the fact that, hey, the things of God needs to be clarified. It could be hard, all right? And we must not be offended by it and think, oh, what are they even saying? All right? Because it is in the handling of that word that we can win. It is in understanding that word, all right, that we can win. Think of that bread. Okay, we're talking about that bread. The bread, so it means that Moses was trying to communicate something to them about the fact that God will send his son, he will die, all right, and he will resurrect, All right. And the eating is not like eating, all right, like a bite. It is believing. All right. But then, can you see how different it is? But yet, it's, how do I put this? Think of, and honestly, we don't want to blame Moses, and you cannot blame God. Have you been in a meeting where some vendors, they are trying to sell a new product to you? Maybe they're coming with an application, all right? And they say, oh, Microsoft, I'm making an advert for Microsoft now. Microsoft, it can do this. And all they will do is slides, all right? You see the screen, if you drill down there, and it goes, all right? But then, you know, they will give you some, it's a visual. They will explain. But that's not the computer, all right? That's not the real thing, all right? That was it called. The slide will not print report, will not, but just to make you understand something, that was all that was happening there. We're not saying that now that we have the real computer, we should understand that, take that to interpret what is happening in the Old Testament. That's what we're doing, all right? Hallelujah. So please, now, let me take this thought. Let me take this opening point. That the New Testament, therefore, the New Testament writers, they assumed familiarity with the Old Testament. I'll say that again. The New Testament writers, Paul, Peter, John, Mark, Luke, Jude, the writer of Hebrew, they have a lot of, they've made a lot of assumptions. Even yet, it's a New Testament. It is the plainest as it can be. But I tell you, friends, they've made a lot of assumptions. The assumption is that they will think, maybe I said better, those assumptions at times, if we are not careful, it may not be in our favor. I will clarify what I mean by that. Because they will assume that you have read the Old Testament. All right? You know, at the time they were teaching from the Old Testament. There's no Matthew, there's no Mark, there's no Luke, there's no John, there's no Revelation, there's no Peter, 2 Peter. All right? What they were teaching from actually is Genesis to Malachi. All right? So their teaching is actually based on that. All right? So they will make a lot of assumptions. They will make assumptions like water, for example. They know everybody understands waters. All right? They will talk about covenants. So let me just read some things here so that we can drive faster. Okay? For example, if you don't understand Leviticus, there's no way you can understand Hebrews. You understand? All that Moses said about, you know, the what's it called? The Levitical order, the sacrifices and all. But look at the way he was communicating. He was saying, just like Moses said, he assumed that you know it. So if you don't have that understanding of the Old Testament, all right, it will be very difficult for us to understand. So they've made an assumption that, oh, everybody in the class understands. Let's say I'm a lecturer, okay? And what course did he do in school? Did he go to school? He went to school. It's a joke. Okay, say maybe account, mechanical engineering, all right? And now you're in 500 level, all right? And now I'm talking about advanced mechanics. That's an assumption that you've gone through 100 level, 200 level, 300 level, 400. There are some things in Genesis 001 that I will not be. All right. Just like when, you know, I remember, let me tell you about this. I remember myself in my GSS classes, okay? I was very good with mathematics and all of those. Now we go to SS class, you know, they are the YDX. What's the YDX? Where is it coming from? All right? But, you know, the YDX, I know many of us, we forgot. Don't worry about that. Okay? And now, I'm not seeing the YDX in my physics. But, you know, the YDX is a lot of assumption. All right? A lot. So, you are not teaching the YDX to someone that is not learning 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. No. Not even 2 times 2. Not even multiplication. Not even long division. We've gone past all of those. Not even tell me all of those in the mathematics. Not even square root or lowest common. You know, I went to school. You see, not even quadratic equation. Not even all of those. Quadratic is beginning to enter. Not even lowest common factor, highest common factor, lowest common factor, LCM. Which one is HCF? highest command, not even all of those. You understand? So, but then you know, there's even something more above the YDX. That I see it, okay, at this point. All right? But a lecturer coming to teach you that, we make a lot of assumption that I'm not just coming to teach you 1, 2, 3 or 2 times 2. All right? We are building on that assumption, okay? Now, let me make my examples as well. Matthew will, for example, say a lot of, well, that may be fulfilled. Oh, Matthew particularly said that a lot, that it might be fulfilled, that Jesus prophetized. So they assumed that you read prophet Isaiah. So if you have not read Isaiah or all of those things that Matthew was saying, you will find it difficult to really understand the context from where they're coming from. Hallelujah. For Paul as well, you know, went to Abraham, talked about Abraham, about Adam, about Moses, about covenant. See the way Paul talked about the story of Agai and the story of Anna. See how he interpreted it. They knew that that was what it is. All right. Today, people just think the story of Sarai and Agai. All right, that, you know, it's about the bondwoman. Send the bondwoman out, you know, and all of, no. See the way Paul interpreted it. He says it's about 2 covenants. So it means that those things of the Old Testament, we cannot just take it in face value and apply it. We need a thorough understanding of the New Testament, particularly, all right, the interpretation, the explanation that the apostles gave it, that the New Testament gave it. So in other words, we cannot give the story of Sarai and Agai another meaning other than the meaning that Paul gave it in Galatians. If you give it another meaning, that, oh, what that means is that the way Sarai sent, you know, Agai out, and, you know, if you know any, so tell him also to send the woman out. But that's not the interpretation it was given. That story was recorded for our learning, but the meaning is about 2 covenants. That the first covenant, what God planned, and the other covenant that came after that, all right, that it is this covenant that we stand, this other covenant that is the law, we not stand. Do away with the law. That's what that story is about. It's not about a man that has 2 wives to send. That was very particular. Am I saying polygamy? I'm not talking about polygamy. I'm just saying that what that story meant, why it was documented, Paul explained it. Hallelujah. All right. So that's why we go through God's word. So a lot of assumptions have been made that we have an understanding of the Old Testament. Okay. So we must read it in that light. So the New Testament is not just a standalone document. It's a continuation and a fulfillment of the Old Testament. And that's why we've started this study from Genesis, okay? All that we're trying to explain, we can take it from the New Testament. We can see, if at the end of the day yesterday, that was where we landed, okay? But then that was why we went there, to see what was documented there, what can we see from there? Hallelujah. So let's do a quick recap about yesterday. We're not going to open the scriptures. Yesterday, we said that God promised eternal life from before the world began. That's his plan. Nobody had paid him anything. Ayo hasn't prayed. Ayo has not sinned. Nobody has done anything. All right? So it was not prompted. It was not influenced. All right? It was his initiative. He preempted it. All right? That, okay, this is what I want to do. I will give eternal life. So we said, therefore, eternal life, therefore, is not a response to Adam's sin or Adam's offenses, transgression. We moved on from there. So what now happened? All right. Apparently, something happened so that Adam now did not have that eternal life. At the end of the day, we now began to investigate what happened. We went to Genesis chapter 1, that in the beginning, God made heaven and earth. Right? We clarify that. So we said, that's the title. He now began to clarify that earth, heaven and earth that God made is on earth. But verse 1 is a standalone. In the beginning, God made heaven and earth. I hope I won't take too much time on this again today. Praise God. All right? But then we said, in our class, but that earth was non-void. All right? And God now began to talk to the earth. All right? He created a firmament. We read in verse 6, 7, and 8, he called on earth, he called that firmament one heaven on earth. The other one, he calls it earth. All right? So that is the summary of verse 1. Or that's the explanation of verse 1. In the beginning, God made heaven and earth. All right? So heaven and earth on earth. All right? So we have heaven on earth, earth on earth. So all that we see today on earth is a combination, all right, of heaven and earth. All right? So there's no heaven outside of this earth. Heaven and earth, they are together on this earth. In other words, the visible and the invisible, they are together on this earth. We gave an illustration yesterday. I know that was, I'm trying not to just land like that. There's nothing like, but it's okay. I think we can take that. All right. That even in this room today, there are physical things that we can see. All right. Physical things that we can see. But there are so many invisible things that we cannot even see. Signals, some, you know, there are some living organisms on this rug. Okay, so many things that we cannot see, but yet they are here. All right, so what we said is that heaven and earth, all right, again, God now continued his creation work. Let there be light, let there be stars, let there be the moon. Now, when he says, let there be stars, and we're going to come back to that, maybe not this study, but later, all right, we see that those stars there, don't just see them as stars, all right, don't see them as twinkly, twinkly little stars. No. We've said Moses wasn't writing a scientific story. He was writing things about God. All right? We're going to see something. Don't just see the moon as the moon. All right? Again, I'm not trying to do abracadabra. Don't just see it as it is. It's going to disappear. No, that's not what we're saying. All right? But see those things as a type. It was communicating something. In other words, let's just move on because of our point today. So we said that, again, we said God continued all of those. All right? And he said in chapter 2, verse 1, 2, and 3, all right, it says, and thus God completed, let's read it, thank you, all right, and we said, so because, sorry, yeah, okay, don't worry, I'm going to do this, all right, so we said, because, so thus the heaven and earth, and the host of them, we're coming back there today to start from there, it was finished. So God finished that, all right? And on the seventh day, God ended his work and on and all. And God blessed both and he rested from his work. So we now said that this should have been part of chapter 1, all right? It should have been. It's okay, nothing wrong. Just so that we can read it contextually. Then the writer of Genesis continued again to further clarify the same story, all right? Don't forget, God did not start again to make man. He made man within these 7 days. So he continued the story again. He now elaborated. All right, that so this is how he made man. He formed man, all right, from the dust, okay, and he breathed into him. He made him a living being, all right. So that we said that is the natural man. That's the mortal man. That's the natural. That's everybody, all right. We now said that man, the natural man that he made, he placed that man in Eden, all right. So we said that Eden is the heaven. All right, so he made the man on earth with earthly things, you know, and placed him in. Again, it's just clarifying, in the beginning, God made heaven and earth. So we said that the man is natural 100%. All right, but then what God has done also is to make that man that he made, he placed it in heaven, which we now refer to as Eden, 100%. Meaning that we can experience both worlds 100%, like an amphibian. Is that amphibian? There's an M, right? I went to school. Amphibian animal that it doesn't need to pray, shake to enter the water. No, it just you know, you see the crocodile, it just goes like that and it's gone and it's coming out. There's no difference. All right, it's a faculty that God has given to man. We said particularly the man is a spiritual being. See, what do I want us to get from this? I want us to be conscious of that fact that I'm a spiritual man, that I'm a supernatural man. All right, that we can function in both worlds at the same time. All right, that we don't need to shake to enter the spirit. Right, there's no entry of the Spirit. It's a switch. You know, time will not permit because I still got some distance today. All right? That's why it's good to have time to teach God's word. Or otherwise, imagine that we had yesterday alone. You know, all right? So that's why you don't need to shake. No. You know what John said? John the Revelator. He said, on this so day, he told us where he was. He said, I was on Patmos, the mountain of Patmos, the island of Patmos, all right? And he said, I was in the Spirit. He didn't went somewhere. He was on that mountain, but he said he was just in the Spirit. In other words, he was in Eden. In other words, he was in heaven. In other words, he was in the Spirit. All right, so you will see those. Now, let's go back to what we said earlier. So the writer of the New Testament, they will now use spirit. They will assume that you have that understanding of Eden, of heaven being a spiritual place. Of course, they will still use heaven. The reason he said that we are now together. We've been raised together with Christ, and we are seated with him in heavenly. It's the same thing. So we are not going to heaven. But today, we are not going to heaven to sit with Christ, quote and unquote. Right now, our reality is that our supernatural reality is that we are seated. All right? We're going to clarify that seated, actually, because that seated does not just mean just sit down and cross. No, because what we get, no, let's not go there. Let's finish this. Let's not divert to that. Right? So we are in Christ spiritually. All right? We are in heaven. We ask, again, one of the things we said yesterday, I'm taking too much time on that, but let's move on. We now said, when we say we are in heaven, it does not just mean eternity. It means eternity, all right? It means forever, all right? It means we are there forever. Ah, praise God. It was provided I read that today. There's nothing. We will get there. You went to touch it, tail the tail. We will get there, sir. Thank you. He says, nothing will be able to separate us. Not powers, not principalities. I was like, yeah. Nothing. Now, it's not just talking about longevity or eternity. It's talking about authority. So when he talks about Eden being on a mountain, being a place that is high, he's not talking about one mountain in somewhere. He's talking about authority. We're going to get there and get to the point where we talk about the fact that he now told us that we will be the one to judge the angels. He's talking about authority. All right? So we sit in a high place to judge the angels. We will do that because we have now, through Christ Jesus, been restored to that height. All right? So yesterday we now talked about, I know a lot of, you know, coming in and out, we went that way, maybe because they're just trying to introduce, but hopefully I've been able to do that so that we can move, clarify some more today. But as we speak today, we are spiritual men. We are back at Eden. All right? Yeah, we talked about what happened. Maybe that's what we're going to talk about today. What happened, how things, you know, men fell. That's like when he fell, you didn't see him. He was still walking. It was still normal. But that authority from Eden, where he was placed, it came down. All right? Christ now came, brought heaven back. So that through him, the reason he now said we are seated with him. If you now believe, we are seated with him. We need to understand that. You know why? That is the only way we can live a victorious Christian life. Without that understanding that I'm with Christ, without that identity with Christ, you know what they call identification? It's just like someone identifying as a cat. All right? Someone says, I'm a dog. All right? He just chose to. You know, he doesn't have a tail. He's not furry. He says, I'm a dog. Meow. Is it dog? All right? You just identify that way. The reason what we do with the things that Christ has done for us, we identify with it. We own it. If he says that we are in heaven, we identify with it.
Yeah.
We don't second guess it. We don't think maybe or maybe not. We just take it on. If he says that I will never, you just identify with it. If he says that you can do other, we just identify with it. All right? If you say that you are sitting, you just assume that. You understand? If you say that go and preach the gospel, we just take that responsibility. It is in identifying with what Jesus has said to us that we can only be victorious in this world. Otherwise, it won't be better than an unbeliever. I say that better. Because an unbeliever is dead in sin. All right? We just be like someone, you know, we just be like a son, like Paul said, that does not know his right. It will see the Father at the end of the day, but hey, you will need to take some charge. Hallelujah. Let's move forward a bit. So, with this understanding, one of those things that we've seen a lot in the New Testament is this. Now, can you see the way we are moving on? We've used some clarification or some, we said assumptions. We're now moving to today's topic based on that assumption. All right, so we are moving on now, okay? Some of those assumptions will be this term in the New Testament, sons of God. I'm a son of God. I am a son. You know, John said, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. All right? So we see that Jesus will come, say, I'm a son of God. Now we see a lot of those sons of God, but it's not a term that started in the New Testament. All right? The very first place, now let's start our study. We're now beginning to study, okay? We, you know, see the way we entered this study. Mark chapter 1, verse 1. This is our study today. Still about God's plan and purpose for our lives. Mark chapter 1, verse 1. The beginning of the gospel of Christ, the Son of God. All right? We see the Son of God here. All right? It's coming from the Old Testament. We're going to see it. Let's see some more. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians 2, verse 20. Look at it. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. You see, you know, this identification. It's not saying that Christ now entered. No. It's just like the one that said, dog is in whatever. All right? But again, you know, that's an assumption that we all know we're talking about. All right? Now, is identifying with Christ. See what it says. The life, of course, we now see that it's an identification. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith. Now, when you say by faith, is that identification? Yes. So it's believing. It believes. All right? So it's identification. So faith is identification. All right? So we just identify with what Christ has said. He said, I'll be with you. That Christ now lives in me. All right? Now, let's get to the point now. He says, but I live by the faith in the Son of God. Okay? So there is the Son of God. This Son of God loved me. What did he do? He gave himself for me. This is an assumption that, you have an idea of the Son of God. We're going to drill down that a little bit more today. All right? Now, look at it. Matthew chapter 16. We're going to read some scriptures now. We're 13 to 19, but maybe we take it 2-2 so that it's not too worded. Matthew 16, 13. Thank you. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, we're going to come back to this maybe tomorrow morning or so, hopefully. He asked his disciples. He's asking questions. Of course, do you know with Jesus, if you ask him questions, he will answer. But if they go with the idea of it's difficult, they will think it's difficult. Whereas what he's teaching is very simple. Just believe. I'm not asking you to drink my blood. You are not vampires. I just tell you what I am. But you wonder why Jesus, why didn't you just clarify simply? We will get there. Why didn't you say it's about believing? All right? We will get there. Okay? But then what you will get to know is that even men, men wants to do something. That isn't just believing like that. Let me pray 7 days. Let me fast 7 days. Then I will get it. Now, am I saying it's wrong to fast? No. But that's not how we get things from God. We'll talk about that later. Let's not digress. All right? So he was asking questions. Who do men say that I... You know, Jesus answered the question already. All right? He says, I, the Son of Man. He said, I, the Son of Man. Who do they say I am? Now, again, Jesus is saying that he's the Son of God or Son of Man. All right? Let's leave that. And so they said, some said John the Baptist. Now, of all the answers, this is the one that I think. But we all saw John the Baptist. He lives about the same time. Why is this? This is not Tolu. This is Bimisola. Why is this is Tolu? They knew that. All right. That was anyway. Let's leave that. Some said Elijah. Some said Jeremiah. Okay, maybe because those ones they are long gone. All right, or one of the prophets. Verse 15 and 16. Look at it. Ha ha! Like that. All right. He said to them, but okay, all of them, they've said everything, or you've said all they wanted to say. What about you guys? Okay, it's okay for people to say, I'm John, I'm Baptist, I'm... But how about you? He says, hey, Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ. Oh, he didn't just stop, because there is the Christ, the anointed one, the elect, the one that is chosen, the appointed one, all right? You are the Christ. And who that Christ is the Son of the living God. Okay. The Son of the living God. Let's read 17, 18. All right. Yeah, let's. Then Jesus answered, you know, again, I don't want to draw too much on this. For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father is in heaven. We've talked about that something. Please, if you can lay your hand on our study we did, the Father and his family, we did this a lot there. Okay. And he said, so say, my Father had revealed this to you from who is in heaven. Again, look at that word heaven. All right. And I also say to you, Peter, on this rock, we're going to talk about this tomorrow, I will build my church, and the gate of hell, the gate of Hades, shall not prevail against it. Hallelujah. All right. So one of the things we've said here is that it is in understanding, it is in the revelation of God that we understand ourselves. Peter had the revelation about God, and so he was able to know himself. He was able to know and have an understanding of his identity in Christ. All right? So the understanding of who God is brings about our own identity ourselves. Hallelujah. Let's move further. All right? Now, let's now start our study. You know, we said this Son of God, we said, is coming from the Old Testament. So let's now, please pay attention. We will try and slow down. We have some scriptures we want to read. We take our time about it. Sons of God. It's not biology. Just like you say, oh, that is my son. Or, you know, this is my son. No. All right? One of the things I want us to be able to do is, let's not give today's meaning for Bible words or Bible terms. All right. We should find what the Bible says. When the Bible says worship, for example, when we're trying to clarify worship, all right, there's a way the Bible defines worship that we must see it that way and not a contemporary definition. All right. So when we say so many things, okay, let's not, so that we don't take too much time. So when we say the Son of God, we want to find out where do we first see that? Where do we first see that word, the Son of God? Go with me to Genesis. Can you see where we're going to find it? The very first time that word sons of God will be used. Genesis. Do you know how we got to Genesis now? Are we still together how we got to Genesis? We now want to know what's the meaning of that word. That's what we're getting to now. Hallelujah. Still as part of the plan of God for our lives. Genesis chapter 6. Verse 1 to 4, but maybe if you do 2, maybe it will be better. Yeah, thank you. So but later we're going to do 2, 3 and 4. Now it came to pass. Now, before now, you know what has happened. Mankind had fallen. We now know what it means to fall, all right? Falling from Eden, from that authority, from that right, from that power, falling, all right? Now again, we said it wasn't the devil that sinned on their behalf, all right? They were deceived. They used their will to sin, all right? You know, we are easy to blame the devil. The devil caused it. Well, he caused it, no doubt, all right? That's that thing in grammar, in figures. He caused it, but then you did it, all right? You did it. But then it caused it. It deceived them. It gave them a counter information, whereas they should have held on to what God said and not exercised their will the wrong way, all right? They now did against what... Again, where did that happen? It was in Eden. So it's a spiritual reality. So what has happened before now? In verse 4, chapter 4 rather, chapter 3, mankind had fallen. Chapter 4, Cain had killed Abel. chapter 5, you know, some genealogies and stuff. Now, chapter 6 is where things are degenerated, all right? They've given up themselves to sin. Now, this is what we're going to study today. In the middle of this, it will look as if we are trying to study sin and devil, but that's not the point. I'm just giving another disclaimer, okay? We're not studying them. We just want to know what happened. It's good for us to know what happened and what God has done for us and what we now have as believers. Let's go further. All right. So it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth. Can you see? No more heaven and earth. It's now on the earth. All right. At least at this point, no more heaven and earth. And daughters were born to them. Look at it again. That the sons of God. That will be the first time. So we now need to understand what is this sons of God. Now look at it. It says sons of God. It talks about them in a collective term. Meaning these ones, they are not just one. They are not just two. Sons of God. All right. Now follow this story. It may look like that in between, but we all get it. Okay. That the sons of God saw the daughters of men and that they were beautiful. And they took wives for themselves. Let's flick that. Of all whom they chose. So this story again, don't forget, people, this story is written based on some assumption because we're going to see what it means in further chapters. They told us the story of how this came to be. Sons of God, okay? So they chose wives and all of them. Verse 3. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh. Can you see? He's now flesh. Yet his days shall be 120. Verse 4. There were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterwards when the sons of God came into it. So what the offspring of their easy relationship, all right, with the sons of God, produced giants, all right, on earth, and they bore children, those were the mighty men who were of old. Of course, when it says who were of old, what does that say? So this story was not even written when it happened. So they said, oh, those are the men of old. So it means that even the time Genesis chapter 6 was being written is not as it's happening. Because those are the stories we have of old. So it means it happened, all right? So a lot of assumption is here in this story as well. Those assumptions, they are not wrong, but they are just things that the writer expects us to understand. Are we together up to this point? So let's move forward a little bit. See, after this study, we will know our authority. I want us to be able to walk in it clearly and not ignore some things that are so real, that are so real. Bible tells us about that. Now, the next place you're going to see about that is Job. Job chapter 1. You know, Bible history has it that Job lived around the time of Abraham. Okay? But then let's leave the history. Job chapter 1 verse 6. Job chapter 1 verse 6. Another sons of God. Job is after Sam. Thank you. Now, we all know this story again. We're just going to move on quickly. Now, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. So these sons of God, they came to present themselves before the Lord. All right? Sons, we're going to get to know sons of God. We're going to get to know them. Okay? Sons of God, they came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan also came among them. Does that already suggest something? Yes. But let's not make that conclusion yet. Wait, let's see. All right? He said that was part of the sons of God. All right? So he began to tell you, so these sons of God, who are they really? Let's pay attention. Okay? Chapter 2, verse 1. And again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves, and Satan also came, all right, and presented himself before the Lord. Okay, now look at it. Another one, Job chapter 38. That same Job chapter 38. Job chapter 38. So look at it. Look at the way he puts it. Job 38, 4 to 7. Job, see, it's a collective word. sons of God, they are, it's not one, all right? Collective, okay? So let's move on. Now, it was saying some things here. Pay attention. Look at it. Let's read it together. Let's draw understanding from here. Job was asking questions. Of course, he was going through some difficult times and he was saying, but this is God. You know, somebody was telling him this, okay? I cannot ascertain whether it's God here or is or Eliel, the wise one amongst them, okay? Now, he was asking, where were you? Pay attention. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Where was that? Genesis? We're going to talk about foundations later on, okay? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurement? Surely you know. You know that sarcasm. You know, right? Tell me. All right? Or who stretched the line upon it? Look at it. Pay attention. So what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone? Pay attention. Look at verse. It was talking about the beginning, right? That context is the foundation. When the morning stars, we are now seeing stars. So when you see stars in the foundation, where what was he talking about? The foundation, when it's, all right? He's talking about this, it says, when the morning stars sang together, look at them again, putting them as a collective. Have you seen a star that sings? Not twinkle, twinkle, little star. All right? This is referring to some personalities. Are we together, friends? Is it okay? Can we move on? All right? So when the morning, we're going to see some more. It wasn't Job alone that talked about this. We're going to see. And so is that a continuation? Is that a clarification? And the sons of God shouted for joy. So when we read earlier in Genesis chapter 2, verse 1, that the heaven and the earth was completed, was finished, and the host of them, we're coming back, all right? He was talking about a foundation that God finished that, all right? And it referred to morning stars, all right? The personalities you can see here, we can see morning stars, all right? Again, not just one. So the devil is not just the only morning star. What's morning star? Early, the ones that are the beginning stars, okay? The sons of God shouted, so they rejoiced, they sang, all right, at what God had done in the beginning, all right? Let's read this. So we now, so another name for sons of God will now be what? Morning star. Other names you can call them, right? Morning stars. Can we move on from there? Let's move on quickly. Now, Psalm 33. And don't forget, he calls it, they're always collective. Okay? Psalm 33, verse 5 and 6. Got it. Psalm 33, verse 5 and 6. He loves righteousness and justice, and the earth is full of the goodness of God. He says, by the word of the Lord, the heavens, don't forget heavens, were made, and the host of them, by the breath of his mouth. So we can see again in heaven, all right, at the foundation is not here, all right, but we can imply it that he made the host of them, confirming what Genesis said, that the host of them were made. They were made by God. Isaiah, let's see what Isaiah said about this again. See, we're going to do a lot of study about, you know, I've been saying it for a long time. Our study of the Old Testament will be super. We're just starting, all right? And it's not, we're not trying to be controversial, make a name or try to, no, it's our faith. It's what God said about us. We must know it. Hallelujah. Let's move further. Isaiah 45, 12 and 13. So we're just trying to see other names that we can call sons of God. We've seen morning stars so far. We can call them hosts, but let's not call them hosts. Let's see what it means. I made the earth and created a man on it. My hand stretched out the heavens and all the hosts. Can you see? I have commanded. All right? Now look at it again. I have raised him up in righteousness and I will direct his ways and he shall build my city. And all, now the point I want to say, says the Lord of hosts, all right? So again, he's talking about He made heavens, created man. He made the hosts of them. All right? So he made heavens. He made the hosts of them. All right? So that's Isaiah 45, 12 and 13. Other names. Let's see some other names that we can call this host. Sorry, this song. Don't forget. Now, see now, we are beginning to expand sons of God, right? To let us see that they have other names. We've seen morning stars, all right? Initially, actually, they were called hosts, but we've not established that. But we can begin to see hosts and all. But let's see what puts all of them together, okay? Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Not that. But that verse, that chapter, continuing that verse. Look at verse 20 and 21. What's the plan of God? The plan, the eternal plan of God. Bless the Lord, you his angels. So he's talking about angels now, who excel in strength, who do his will, all right? Heeding to his voice, all right? Bless the Lord, all you his hosts. Okay. Now, can we call those angels the hosts? All right? He calls those angels the hosts, all right? He says, you minister his will. So there's a reason God made them. All right? They were made to minister the will of God. All right? So another name is, so we cannot begin to say those angels, they are the host of heavens. Correct? All right? So they are the host. Says you is host, then we can call them his ministers, the minister of his, they do his pleasure. Are we together, friends? Okay, so let's move forward a bit. All right? Now, we can put it together. All right? That the sons of God, okay, we're going to see the host now. I will keep hosts here, the host of heavens here. That word host means a multitude of heaven. All right? Host can mean the person, if I come to visit you, say, okay, you're sitting in front today, so you are my target. So if I come to visit, so I'll be your guest, you'll be my host. All right? If you check the dictionary, there are two definitions for host. All right? All right? So in that way, I'm your host. No, you are my host, I'm your guest. So if I want Padriam, you give it to me. Praise God. But then, if you look at it again, you know those words that have two meanings, all right? A host means multitude, all right? So not that definition of visitor, guest, all right? Visitor, host, but multitude. Host in itself means multitude. They call it host of army. A multitude of army. The reason they call them sons in the Genesis, all right? Sons, angels, morning stars. We've seen that. But then, now, let's take a detour here quickly. So like I said, if we look at this as if we are studying angels, but that's not what we are studying. I just want us to see our authority, where what God has done for us in his son, Christ Jesus. It's still about Jesus Christ. So there was a time. Notice again, we are changing the thought. There was a time in human history. Now again, we're not going to make that up. We're going to see it. When mankind, all right, when God divided these nations or divided the earth into nations. And it was because, we're going to read it. It was because man continued to rebel. Man continued to rebel. Man continued to, disobey. Of course, because it's now falling. We read it, the thoughts and the imagination of mankind continued to be evil, all right? And things were happening and all right? There was a time in history. Let's just quickly read it. Genesis chapter 10. Again, you know where we're going to. We just want to familiarize ourselves with Genesis. Genesis chapter 10. Genesis 10, 25. All right, look at it. So there was a time in the history of, again, this is about our faith. We must know it. The fact that it's a long time ago does not mean that we shouldn't know it as part of our faith as believers. So it says to Abel, in fact, okay, so let me just, some digression. This word Abel is the word that we now metamorphosize to become the word Hebrews. Okay? It means trees, dark colors. Blah, blah, blah. But that word Ibe, so it's that Ibe there, that was the word I will now metamorphosize to become Ibe. Just put that somewhere, it's not related to what we're studying, but it's just important for us to put it out. Okay? He was born, so it's, he born two sons. One was Peleg, all right? For it was in his days, the earth was divided. And his brother was Joktan, all right? Joktan. So it was in this day of Peleg that the earth was divided. But what day is this? The next chapter, Genesis 11, 16. I hope I'm not losing anybody. Please, let's follow this story. Let's just follow. We're just talking about sons of God, assumptions that were made in the New Testament that we must be familiar with them from the Old Testament. That's where we get the story. So the reason guys say, oh, don't do Old Testament. No, we just want to deal with Old Testament with knowledge. Genesis chapter 11, verse 16. I need to run. Eba, don't forget Eba. We've talked about Eba, not Eba. Eba or Eber, all right? It was 34 years and he begot Peleg. So it's that story. So this story will be after the Tower of Babel, all right? So 11, that will be after the Tower of Babel when mankind, we're going to talk more about that tomorrow also, when mankind thought to build a tower. Of course, that tower is not just a tower, all right? It was a shrine. Think about it. They could not have built a tower that would go to heaven. Even today, have we done it today? That time, there's no technology. So don't think as, oh, they were actually want to... No, it was a place they were going to sacrifice to God. They wanted to connect to God and build a house. It was actually a temple worship. They call it Zugarat. It's, all right? So it's not... Don't think of it as, oh, they were going to make bricks. They can't do that. That's not the point. It's a spiritual term. Again, all right? What they were trying to do is, so they said, we don't want to worship God. Let's connect to heaven by ourselves. All right? And that's what God was angry with them. All right? People build tall skyscrapers today and God is not angry. All right? So don't think God has, oh, is the tower that... No. The connotation there is they were trying to do sacrifice, evil temple worship. Anyway, let's now go. So we said that, so with this division, there's also a knowledge that I want us to now see. Moses will now talk about this division and what happened to it. Deuteronomy chapter 32. We said our understanding of the Old Testament must be proper, must be airtight for us to really understand what was happening. And when Jesus said, oh, we now have authority, we need to authority over what? What was happening? This is the genesis of it. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 7 and 8. So when the nations, when it was divided, again, it was not just divided. We're going to read now. Pay attention, please. Pay attention, friends. Please, I beg of you. Please pay attention. Remember. So he's telling, again, this story, he's telling them to remember. All right? This story now happened long time ago, in the days of Peleg. All right? So Moses was writing, remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. He says, ask your father. And they will tell you, they will show you, your elders, they will tell you. So they know. He said, ask. Now look at it. Pay attention now. When the Most High, we know when that happened, Genesis 11, all right, in the days of Peleg, divided the inheritance to the nations. We know that, all right. Now look at it. When he separated the sons of Adam, he did, all right, and set the boundaries of the people according to the numbers of the children of Israel. So, I will clarify some things again. A lot of clarification here. So, there was a time in history of mankind when God divided the nations. We've read it on different occasions now. But then he didn't just divide it. He now sent the boundaries, all right, according to the number of the children of Israel. Now, I have an issue. Please help me with this issue. Let's reason together. Of the children of Israel, we know when Israel became Israel. It wasn't in the day of Peleg. All right? It wasn't in the day of Peleg. Peleg, Abraham will come later. All right? Sorry? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob will come later after that division. All right? So it can't be Israel. Joy, I didn't tell you. Do we have ESV version? ESV. Who has ESV? English Standard Version. Huh? Yeah. Who does? Oh, I trust Ella. please read it, ma'am. Deuteronomy 32:8. I just want us to see what that means. Of course, before you read, if your Bible is original, as if there's a fake Bible, you will see some footnotes here. They will put A or footnote. If you go and check it, you will see what it means, okay? So it's not children of Israel, okay? Please read it.
Mm-hmm. When he divided mankind, he fixed the borders of the peoples according to the number of the sons of God.
All right. That's what we're going to. All right. So, thank you. Thank you. So, it can't be the children of Israel because children of Israel will come later. All right. At this time, there's no Hebrew actually. All right. It will be later, generation after. Okay. So, it can be, it was just some translation stuff there that happened there. All right. So, I mean, in your Bible, do we have anyone that has A or stuff on it? Does he call it sons of God?
Yeah.
Sons of God. All right. So actually, it was. So let's just move forward quickly because I think we've established that point. So there was a time God divided the nations. All right. And he appointed sons of God. Can we agree with that? All right. To be in charge of those divisions. All right. Agreed. Can we move forward with that quickly? Praise God. We're just telling our story, all right? So that when you see Paul, we're going to see how Paul talked about this. How what Jesus did about this. Second King, let's just read now. So these sons of God, if you read what has happened now, those sons of God now, you will see them in charge. If you read back, you will now see them in chapter 6, all right? They were just having easy relationship with daughters of men. All right, they've been corrupted, and they corrupted men. All right, they became wayward. All right, mankind was now. Let me not make that. Let's what mankind begin to do to them. Second King, we have a lot of it. I just picked two. So sons of God, host of heaven. Look at it. Second King chapter 17. Let's read quickly. Second King 17, 13 to 16. So maybe if we do 2:2. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, yet the Lord, of course, he was talking about a king here. So you will now see a lot of the atrocities of those sons of God and what mankind, again, we are not just blaming the sons of God alone. Mankind are as well. We use his will, all right? But let's see what happened. Yet the Lord testified against Israel, against Judah. Of course, generations had now passed, okay? By all these prophets, every seer saying, turn away from evil ways. Keep my commandments, my statutes according to the law which I commanded your fathers and which I sent you by my servants, the prophets. Nevertheless, they will not hear. Is that an expression of their will? Yes. They stiffen their neck like no, all right? Like the necks of their fathers, long time ago before kings, all right? Now, and did not believe. So it's about believing. Did not believe the Lord their God. Verse 15 and 16. See what they were doing. Let's put it in context. Context now. And they rejected his status and his covenant and that he made with their fathers and the testimonies and all. Now look at it. It says they followed idols. They became idolaters. They went after the nations who were all around them concerning whom the Lord charged them that they should not. Now look at it. Look at it. Pay attention. Now, verse 16. So they left all the commandments of the Lord, their God, made for themselves molded image and two calves. Now, look at it. I'm just skipping now. Made a wooden image and worshipped. Pay attention now. Worshipped the host of heaven. Now, we now know this host of heaven. All right. We can call them sons of God. We can call them, what did you call them again? Angels, morning stars, all right. They now became something to be worshipped. They were never meant to be worshipped. They were ministers of God. They were supposed to minister to us. But because mankind, we saw what led to that, they had fallen. But these sons of God now, they are not saying just sons of God, so that we don't just make it like, oh, it was the devil. Mankind, too, because of their fallen state, just went on. Let's see some more. Just, I have a lot, but I'm just limiting this to two. 2 Kings 21, verse 1 to 6. Please give me some few more minutes I'll wrap this up because we need to land. It looks as if we are studying the devil, and no, we're not. We just want to know what happened, what led to it. Hallelujah. 2 Kings 21. And Manasseh was 12 years old, and all he did abominations. All right, let's just keep going. Of course, we cannot. He did abominations in the face of the Lord, cast out before the children. Verse 3 and 4. 3 and 4. For he rebuilt the high places which Hezekiah his father destroyed. He raised up altars for Baals. So these Baals now, will he be a son of God?
Yeah. Even in the old verse.
Right?
The old scripture we read.
Yes?
The continuation of this
mentioned Baal. Baal. Okay? So.
Part of the host as well.
Thank you. Yeah, he is. So all of these Baals, all right, they can we say they used to be sons of God? All right, they used to be angels of God. Of course, the word angels do not refer to angels, you know, because angels simply mean messenger. All right, so at some point, the pastors of the church is the angel of that church. All right, so angel is like just like president. There's nobody that is president. It's just a name for an office. All right, let's leave that because now I just want us to close. I know my time is over. And all the host of heaven again and serve them. Were they supposed to serve these people? They got it wrong. All right, so you now see what has happened. All right, so let's now go back to that Deuteronomy that we read. You know, it was in Deuteronomy that we read that it was divided. God put these sons of God in charge. So if you read down, let's go back to Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32. Ah, praise God. Please give me some verse 17 and 18. 17 and 18. So, again, so God was saying, don't forget in verse 7 and 8 that we read, remember those days of old, ask your fathers, when the nations were divided and I put sons of God in charge of them, they were supposed to look after things, all right? Of course, so the rebellion that we saw in Genesis chapter 3, it's not the only rebellion. We saw it in chapter 6 because they were supposed to look after mankind. But then we saw what happened in chapter 11 as well. They were not supposed to be worshipped. So that things degenerated. All right? So where we are going today is, why did Christ come? And what did he do for us? That's this travel. This is to land on that point. So he says they sacrificed to demons. Now they are now demons. They are no more angels. All right? They are now demons. So it says not to God. Says to gods they did not know, all right, to new gods, new arrivals that your father did not even, that your father did not fear, all right, of the rock who begat you, you were not mindful. You have forgotten the God who fathered you, all right? So look at those. So he says, hey, these guys, they were never to be worshipped. Yet, they are sons of God. So let's come, what was a son of God? Sons of God, again, is not biology, all right? It's just a term to talk about the people that you work together. For example, when you see the sons of the prophets, all right? Sons of the prophet didn't give birth to all of them. They were students, quote and unquote, or people that were learning, they were doing things together. Sons of the prophets, all right? Something like that, all right? So they were supernatural beings. Is it safe to conclude on that? That these gods, so, you know that what? There's no supernatural thing in this world that God did not create. But God created and gave them a will. They can exercise, but we can see that if exercise their will in a negative way against God. All right? So why did Jesus come? Let's just finish that. Matthew chapter 12, verse 29. Matthew chapter 12, verse 29. Please give me 5 more minutes. We're going to wrap up now. It looks like we stress what the devil do. But then we all know what God has done for us, okay? I just want to say, so that we appreciate what Jesus has done for us. So we know. Jesus was saying this. How can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man and then he will plunder his house? So this again is a figure of speech. Jesus was saying that, hey, to stop these sons of God, I'm explaining, to stop the devil, you need to go to his stronghold. And you know his stronghold is spiritual. The stronghold of the devil is a spiritual stronghold. All right? So what he's saying is that I will have to come around, become one of them, all right, get to the stronghold of the devil, Because of the strong man, we now know we can put things together now. All right. Don't forget how we got to the Son of God. All right. There are some. So when you say Christ is the Son of God, we now know what. So there is this particular Son of God who walked with God, who is the particular, who is the Lord of hosts himself, who came from God, who has this unique birth, the Son of God. So what we said is when Mark said you are the Son of God, you are the one that came from, is an understanding that is coming from the Old Testament. That's how we started. So where did Jesus come? He came to enter the strong man's house, plunder his goods, all right? The people that he has held hostage, and now the devil. Hebrews chapter 2. Let's just do Hebrews chapter 2. We will wrap up on Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. You know what? Let's just give it the right context. Hebrews chapter 1. Let's do two chapters. We're just going to be fast about it. Because it's Hebrews chapter 2, chapter 1 and 2. So let's start from verse 1. Say, God, again, look at how he was saying it. Don't forget, we said, if you are going to read this, you must understand Old Testament. A lot of assumption there. God spoke to our fathers in different times, all right? And has spoken to us, by, you know, to us now through his Son. Now, verse 3 and 4. He says, this one that he spoke to us now is the exact, not like those other sons of God that deceived mankind, that now received worship. They were not supposed to be worshipped. They were supposed to serve us, all right? Now, this one is the exact replica, all right? He plucked up from our sins, all right? And he became, now look at it, he now began to clarify things. So when he says, having become so much better than angels, what was he talking about? He assumed you have the understanding of the Old Testament. Those angels that were not with God. He has a better standing, all right, than them, all right? And by inheritance, obtained a more excellent name than they. We know the day now, right? Of those men, those hosts of heaven that rebel. Now, the hosts of heaven, some of them are still good. But some of them are bad, but they are hosts of heaven. God made them. They used to be hosts of heaven. They were now sent down. Verse 4, 5 and 6. 5 and 6. Look at it. So you now get the context. For which of the angels? We now know those angels, those sons of God, those hosts that did they ever say that you are my son? He never called them my son. Meaning he said, you are not my son. All right. I have begotten you. But he now says, when he brings the firstborn into the world, he said, let all of the angels of God worship him. They were supposed to worship the Lord of hosts. All right? They were supposed to worship the Lord. Let's move on faster. 6 and 7. Again, he clarifies. Of the angels, he says, who makes his angels spirits? We know where this is coming from. All right? Ministers of flame of fire. But to the Son, we now know there is now a particular Son. He says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. Let's move on. I'm just trying to let us read this in context. You have loved righteousness. Do you know that context now? Those ones hated righteousness. They didn't obey God. All right. But to these ones, you did well. To this particular, not once, this one, one, this son of this son. You did well. All right. He says, you love righteousness. You hated. He said, therefore, oh, praise God. Your God has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. You know the companions? You know those companions? You know the companions, and praise God. And you, Lord, in the beginning, you now know, all right, laid the foundations and the heavens, they are the work of, you know all of this context now. Let's move on quickly. They will perish. And when he says, we will now judge them, you now know where he has placed us. Okay, I don't have all the time. They will perish, they will grow and all, like cloak and all. Now, it says, but you are the same and your years will never fail or will not fail. Let's read on. I think that's it, right? Of 13 and 14. But to which of the, can you see the way it's emphasizing it? To which of the angels he ever said, sit at my right, let this one sit at my right hand. All right? Till I make, you know the enemies now? You know the enemies? All right? You know the context? It's a lot of assumption here. A lot of assumption of the Old Testament from the beginning of the world. Hallelujah. See, what we are saying is when we do evangelism, it's not faith. It's not ordinary. Yes, we need to put ourselves together. We need to know. But I tell you, it's a lot of spiritual battle. I don't want believers not to know that we are spiritual and we are actually, is a spiritual thing. All of this, that's just one thing we're trying to establish here. All right? And they are ministering and make your enemies their food. Now, let's move on to chapter 2. Chapter 2, please. Let's now do chapter 2. Chapter 2, you know, it's a continuous thought. All right? the people they just broke it. But therefore, we must give earnest heed to the things which we have heard. So you must listen. I must listen. Otherwise, we drift away. We begin to do other things. You know, we drift away. All right, and I've said it. The fact that it is popular does not make it true. Doesn't make it true. Ha. Look at it. All right, they don't drift away. Don't drift from this sun. From this sun is the sun, the only one. It's the only way. All right, look at it. Again, he brought it back. It says, let's do verse 2. For if the words through the angels prove steadfast, or spoken through this prove steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, God judged them, that one day they will be judged. Let's move on. 3 and 4. How shall we escape? There's no way. If we neglect this truth, this great salvation that came to us by Jesus alone, all right? We now know the context, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed to us by those who had him. God bearing witness, miracles, of course, it's going to be true miracles, gift of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. Verse 5 and 6. 5 and 6. Look at this again. Let's look at this. For he has not put the world to come, of which he speak, in subjection to angels. You know the point now? All right? So instead of calling them sons of God, host of heaven, ministers, monasters, that's what I'm... All right? They are now restricted. They are messengers. Are we okay to call them messengers? God divided, called. So they are angels. All right? It testified in one place saying, what is man? All right? Again, I won't have time. Maybe we'll talk about this tomorrow. Say, what is... Because if you look at man, man is small. But God has placed him high. You understand? But these ones, they are mighty, they are strong. They are supposed to be bodyguards, ministers. But God now placed them. Maybe, don't quote me on, maybe that's the point of their jealousy. All right? Because in authority, we are superior to them. Superior. All right? The reason you should not be afraid of any devil. There's no voodoo that can work on me. It can't. Never. All right? Never. Nothing. No, okay, let's not get distracted. What is man that you are so mindful of him? Of course, it's mindful of you. Or the son of man that you so take care of him. Move on quickly. Verse 7 and 8. All right, you've made him little lower. Of course, this little lower, you know, it's not in hierarchy. It's in form. It's in ability. Ability is in physical form, all right? Mortal, all right? But then the lower is not in authority. Have you seen those younger folks that are your manager? They will tell you, go and do this. If you know, but you have to do it. Authority, his authority is there. Praise God. So we are above all of these sons of God, quote and unquote. We have super authority over them. Hallelujah. All right. And let's just move. But now we don't see things. Verse 9 and 10. Let's do verse 9 and 10. But we see Jesus, who is made little lower. Of course, you now know when Jesus became little lower. He became flesh and blood. He became like us. All right. Than the angels. You now see the point. All right. So why did he become? Pay attention. Let's do this together now. Why did he become little lower than the angels? For this, so that he can die, all right? So that he can what? He can die, all right? And he was crowned with glory and honor that he, by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. Taste death for, so everyone that now believe in Jesus, they don't need to die that death anymore, because Christ tasted that death for them. He went to the stronghold, got the authority and all. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, things were made for him, and by whom all things, in bringing many sons to glory. Hallelujah. Oh, so we now know the concept of sons. He brought many sons, you and I. He brought us to glory, all right? To make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering, there is death. Let's now read on quickly. 11 and 10. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all one. For this reason, he's not ashamed to be called, that he calls us our brethren. So Jesus, yesterday, so when we said Jesus brought heaven to earth, so we are now same. Heaven and earth, same thing. Hallelujah. All right. I will declare your name. Verse 13. Let's do it quickly. Verse 13 and 14. And again, I will put my trust in. Now look at it. 14. Let's do 14 and 15 quickly. Sorry. Let's just do 14 and 15 if possible. Look at it. I just want us to read this together. Okay. Not together in chorus, but just, for inasmuch then as the Son, as the children are partaking of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shed in the same, became flesh and blood, that through his death, look at this, he might destroy him who had the power of death, who? The devil. Now, this devil, is it just one devil? With all that we've, are they not collective?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So the devil has no ability to be here in Jersey and be there. So are we okay to say there are many devils, sons of God, rebellious angels? Do you know where, you know, that's an assumption, right? But that assumption is based on all that we've been talking about since. Hallelujah. All right. So it's not just the devil. All right. And release those. You know that? Those who through the fear of death, what all their, this lifetime, is it just 1 year? From the beginning of the world, all their lifetime were subject to bondage. Verse 16 and 17. If you can put the remaining, there are just three verses left. 16, 17, 18. Let's just read together. Let's put 18. 18 is the last one. Okay, praise God. For indeed, he does not give aid to angels. Did you see the point? He does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid. That aid help. Now, again, let me just quickly digress and point something. Where is that word aid there? Is that word help? I will make him, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, I will make him a helpmate. So that help is, let's leave there. It's not the woman. The man and the woman needs that help. All right? So he gave that help, that, all right, to the seed of Abraham. All right? Therefore, in all things, that he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be merciful. God is a merciful God, all right? And faith, and a faithful high priest in pertaining in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. Look at that. For in that he himself has suffered. He went through the things he went through. He being tempted is able to aid, is able to succor, is able to provide help to those that are tempted. We're done for today. We'll continue tomorrow. So we landed here that, hey, Christ now came to rescue us from that dominion. And in rescuing us, he placed. So when we now see, when Paul now begins to talk about principalities, all right, talk about powers, he's talking about those sons of God. Right? When he says nothing will be able, when Paul was talking about that, he's assuming you understand this, that nothing will be able to separate us from that love. He says, Romans chapter 8. Let's just land on that note. Romans chapter 8. Where's that? 27 and 28. Let's read it. Romans chapter 8, 27 and 28. Let's read it. 28 and 29. Sorry. Let's just read it together. No, I think it's 30 something. Let's towards the end. It's 38 and 37. Let's get there. Maybe the last two verses. Ah, look at that. Hallelujah. Look at this. So when you read this, you now understand what he's saying. He says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life. You know death? The devil that has the power. Not death, nor angels. You know those angels? Nor principalities. You know them? Nor powers. Or nothing present. Or nothing to come. Not height. Not depth. Or no other thing. You know, and I know the context in what he was talking about now. All right? Things created shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Hey, this is our identity. This is what we roll with. Hallelujah. Praise God. I have to stop now. I'm sorry, I've taken too much of your time today. We're going to continue on this tomorrow so that we know. Now, we're not going to be talking about the devil anymore. So we now know when he says we are set up high. In the, we are above, and just not just I, H-I-G-H, I above there, but we should not be ignorant that they are still around. All right. So when he says that we preach the gospel and the God of this age is this the same God that is hardening their heart, so we now know that we can wrestle the devil and win.
Yeah.
It's not impossible because we are above them. Hallelujah. Can we just give God praise today? We're going to continue tomorrow. Give him praise because we are supernatural. I am a supernatural man. I'm in heaven.
throne. I have authority. Ooh, I have authority. I'm in heaven. Oh, I'm a supernatural man. We are believers. The death and the resurrection of Jesus placed us on high. We are indeed seated in heaven with Christ Jesus. We have authority. We have it forever. We have the Holy Spirit. We have it forever. We have eternal life. We have it forever. We have it forever. This is our authority. There's nothing difficult for me to do. There's nothing impossible for me to do. In this life, I win. I win. I win. I rule. I win. I win. That is my reality.